Do you solemnly swear that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that you will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that you would take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that you will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which you are about to enter, so help you God. Congratulations. You're now members of the 114th Congress.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over that. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. So as I say, we aren't going to let any dog or water hose just turn us around. We aren't going to let any injunction turn us around.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the program. This is AJC Radio, bringing the message of justice around the world. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Lamont Banks, Cliff Stewart, and Lisa Stewart. How's everyone doing this evening?
Doing good.
Great. Doing pretty good, Sam.
Our phone number this evening is 347-838-8976, 347-838-8976. Before we get things going, Lisa, will you give us our disclaimer, please?
Yes, we just want to remind everyone that we are not attorneys and that A Just Cause does not provide legal advice. You'd want to contact your personal legal advisor for your own legal needs. Also, the opinions expressed by callers and guests do not necessarily reflect that of A Just Cause. And as always, we want to thank you for taking a little time and choosing to tune in and spend some time with us this evening.
And we want to thank you, Lisa, for doing that disclaimer.
Well, thank you so much, Sam.
And Lamont. If you listen to the intro to the program, that means nothing more than the fact that this is Spotlight on Capitol Hill, which we do every Thursday evening right here on AJC Radio from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. This evening, after we take care of a little bit of other business, we're going to do a spotlight on Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi from the state of California. What do you guys say about that, Lamont?
Well, Sam, and America, I tell you, that if you don't have any seatbelts on your couch, on your recliner, you may want to go to the car and disconnect them, because I'll tell you what, you're going to have to buckle in for a pioneer, a woman, and our first woman, Sam, Lisa.
That's right.
And we're fair here on AJC Radio, and we don't see... male or female, we see people making a difference. And I'll tell you what, Miss Nancy Pelosi, Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, Sam, is doing some stuff. 27 years on Capitol Hill. Hold on to your seats. We're going to take off and take you on a trip to our nation's capital. Sam?
Absolutely. And, you know, she's also, as far as setting records, was the first female Speaker of the House. And so that was a monumental effort there. And as we know, and as you just stated, a lot of strides made in Congress as a result of Miss Nancy Pelosi. So, you know, on Tuesday evening, let's take care of a couple of other things real quick. On Tuesday evening, we had an outstanding program, but we started discussing some things regarding your case, Lamont, and we did not get a chance to finish. So, you know, we wanted to revisit that, and that's the fact that for our regular listeners, also, just want to remind our regular listeners that chat room is open. So please jump in there and make comments if you have any comments, questions, or concerns. And then also, if you'd like to give us a call, again, you can do that as well. But as far as the unfinished business regarding your case, Lamont, for our regular listeners, they will know that you were wrongfully convicted in the state of Colorado, and you spent 7 years in prison. For those who are not regular listeners and didn't know that, now you do. Now, one of the things that came up that we were talking about on Tuesday evening was the fact that as far as your efforts to get compensation for this wrongful conviction. And as we've talked about several times here on the program, there is no real compensation when a major chunk of your life has been taken away. But it's atrocious when you think of the fact that a state or any jurisdiction at all would fight a person to give them, you know, at least something for the fact that their life was taken away. Now, explain to us, share with us a little bit as far as what is happening right now with your case as far as trying to get compensation.
Well, as you know, Sam, and to the listeners out there, Governor Hickenlooper here in Colorado signed into law compensation of $70,000 per year for each year that you were wrongfully convicted. And the issue is, in the statute, Sam, it goes on to speak to motion for actual innocence. And the statement was made by the district attorney's office as a response to that filing is that basically we don't show actual innocence. It was basically an error of law, basically a technicality. So that doesn't mean I'm innocent. In their words, there was a technical error. Something went this way or that way.
So Lamont, what I'm holding here in my hand, this is the motion to dismiss your petition. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So this is the district attorney's office motion to say that they are not wanting to support
right.
the fact that you're Or requesting compensation.
And that's correct. And Cynthia Kaufman, the Attorney General for the state of Colorado, also signed off on this, along with elected district attorney Dan May. And it's absolutely ridiculous, because in one sense they want to say, well, you're not actually innocent, because that's part of the statute. You have to show actual innocence. Well, I was tried again in a court of law.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was sharing with someone the other day, you know, it's so easy to say when a person is convicted, well, we need to trust our system because it works. They were convicted by the jury of their peers. But when somebody is found not guilty, all of a sudden, oh, we have amnesia, District Attorney May. How is that? Doesn't make sense. Ms. Donna Billick, these are two folks that work in high, of course, District Attorney May, elected by the people here in El Paso County. People need to know about that, and that's as crooked as it gets.
Well, you know, Lamont, as I look at this, there are several words that kind of jump off the page at me. One is vacate. Another, a couple of words, prosecutorial misconduct. And then there is another one that talks about insufficient evidence. Now, when I look at the word, and you, as you just stated, you were actually retried.
Correct.
And correct me if I'm wrong. I'm looking at paragraph 5 right here. I'm going to point it to you. And it says, on appeal on retrial, the Court of Appeals vacated the conviction.
Well, and this one, Sam, is on the Court of Appeals, paragraph 5, it's talking about they held on to a sexual exploitation charge.
Right.
Which was a misdemeanor here in the state of Colorado.
But they vacated.
They vacated that.
And that's the point I want to key in on.
Correct.
And when I look at the legal definition of vacating it, it says that a vacated judgment makes a previous legal judgment legally void. It's
correct.
As if it never happened.
Well, and they say that in the Court of Appeals, Lisa and Cliff as well. They say at the Court of Appeals, when a case is reversed and remanded back for trial, in this particular case, the Court of Appeals did not remand the case, which means the prosecution would have an opportunity to retry it.
Right.
The Court of Appeals said, we're not giving you that. We are vacating, not just reversing. We are
vacating it.
This. And here's the kicker. Every charge that was brought against me that sent me to prison wrongfully, not one charge stuck. Not one.
And that's what makes it just beyond insane that they can say that you weren't innocent.
It's almost the slate is clean.
Right.
It's like whatever happened before didn't happen.
Right.
It's void.
They're saying, wipe it out
of your mind.
The crime was never committed. Everything is void. Get rid of it. But we can't use that to say you're innocent. Well, if there was not a crime and you spent 7 years in prison for that.
Now, that's the only thing that's not void.
Right.
That really happened.
That is what they have to reconcile, the fact you spent 7 years in prison for something that never even happened. It's like the appellate court said, this crime never happened. There's nothing here. There is no crime.
Well, here's the thing, and I'll tell you this right now. When a case is reversed on appeal, not vacated, reversed,
yeah,
you are remanded back to county court. You are given an opportunity to make bail as if you were just arrested on the charge. Innocent till proven guilty. Now, that's the bottom line. When I get arrested and charged with a crime, the rights that are read to you, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. You have a right to an attorney. There is no conviction. So when I left prison and came back to El Paso County Criminal Justice Center, it's as if that crime never happened because bail's not available to you in prison. What does that tell you? So then the presumption of innocence, District Attorney May and ADA Donna Billick, the presumption of innocence starts over for me. Then how do you say I'm not actually innocent then?
And I think, Cliff, you alluded to this the other evening. We were talking about this. It's like a whole bunch of double talk. I mean,
yes.
Cliff, go to paragraph 7 on this thing here. And it talks about, you know, that you cannot file a petition or that you're barred from filing a petition because the convictions were reversed due to prosecutorial misconduct, which is a legal error unrelated to the actual innocence. I don't get that. How can you say that you were convicted, but because you were convicted based off of prosecutorial misconduct, then, which is a legal error,
that
you're barred from? I mean, that's like admission of the fact that, yeah, we I almost used the wrong word. We messed you over.
He gonna cuss him out. But the stupid part of what they're saying, it says it's a legal error, which is unrelated to your actual innocence. Well, how does that make any sense whatsoever? I'm innocent. There was prosecutorial misconduct that went as far as to say, we're going to get testimony that should not be there. I'm innocent. The prosecutor told lies, 25 of them, if I'm not mistaken, to get a conviction. How is that unrelated to your actual innocence?
Well, here's the issue. The argument was made by the Colorado State Supreme Court 3 months prior to me going to trial. They were told the type of questioning that Donna Billick engaged in was categorically wrong. Those are the words of the Colorado State Supreme Court. It was forbidden. You cannot do this during any type of proceedings. She crossed that line of law. She was made aware of the fact that the Supreme Court of the state of Colorado said, you cannot do this. They didn't just say it's kind of not fair. They said this is categorically wrong.
Which
it is
means
forbidden.
It's a crime.
You cannot do that. She didn't do it once. And the appellate court cites it over 25 times that she engaged in this type of questioning prejudice me against the jury.
And my issue with this is very, very simple. If the prosecutor never did anything wrong, if she did everything right, the appellate court saw fit to grant you a new trial for whatever reason, you were granted a new trial and found that the crime they said you committed, you were not guilty. Whether there was prosecutorial misconduct, whether you had, whatever the case may be, whether somebody was lying, breaking the law, whatever the case may be, you were granted a new trial and found not guilty.
That's actual innocence.
What is innocent if that's not innocent?
I mean, you can take any trial in this country and make the statement that a person is found not guilty.
But
you may not like it.
But you're still guilty.
That it totally doesn't make sense.
That is insane because
you're not guilty, but you're not innocent.
Yeah, you go through a trial and say, well, you're found not guilty of all charges. Then does the prosecutor come back and say, well, he was found not guilty, but he wasn't found to be innocent? That is ludicrous speech. That would totally take the law of double jeopardy and flip it on top of its head if you can say you're not innocent every time you were proven not guilty.
And after all of that, they asked for me to be on 2 years probation.
And without question,
yeah,
this is an epidemic across this country. I mean,
yes, it is.
And you are having retired judges, retired prosecutors. You're having people all over the place now who are acknowledging it. And you know, there's a federal judge in the Ninth Circuit at the federal level who is just all over this. But, you know, there is no question that there is a problem with prosecutorial misconduct, which is kind of a different show in a sense.
Is, yes.
But it definitely directly impacts your situation. And I mean, it is absolutely asinine. Now, I know we left a couple of folks hanging on the other evening who wanted to jump in and make a comment during the program. And I think they have joined back in. Cliff, who do we have on the line who want to join in on this conversation?
Yes, we have Ethel from Colorado Springs. You wanted to make a comment about this. You're on the air.
Ethel, welcome to the program.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for taking my call. I do appreciate it. And yes, I was on Tuesday listening to this conversation, and back again tonight listening to this conversation. You know, this stuff, this sucks like all get out. I'm just appalled at what it is that you guys were sitting there and just talking about Lamont Banks's case. I mean, you're looking at this man, DA elect Don May. How can he possibly? And I heard Pastor Banks talking about her son on Tuesday, and I heard her compassion, and I felt so for her, because knowing that she has three children that have been wrongly convicted in this state of Colorado. But listening to DA-elect, when he has come to the different Let's Talk community outreach events that's been held at Pastor Banks' church, and he stands there, and he's all suave and everything and talking to the people, and he wants to get to know the people and tell them, well, this is how this works, and that's how that works, and all this crap. This man is a wolf in sheep's clothing. I mean, that crap is so far out. Until he should have just dropped dead right there in the church for standing there telling those lies that he told. Because what these people, what I have come to find out is people like DA-elect Dan May and Donna Billick, they're going to stand with each other. I don't care how many lies they tell, they are going to stand by each other. They're not going to throw the other one under the bus. I don't care how they lied on a person. I don't care how many lives they've taken, how many families they have destroyed because of their lies. This is what these people do. And that is why a lot of the reason why the community is in such an uproar, you know, with the killings and the murders and all this stuff. The policemen stand by each other, lying, and you know, he didn't do that. He did that. He didn't do that. These people lie for each other on a constant. And you're talking about a man that has lost 8 years nearly of his life in prison for something that he has never done. And you think a lousy $70,000 a year is not enough? It's too much to give him. Give me a cotton picking break. You can't give him his 8 years back. You can't give him anything that he's lost. You already got the paperwork there that said this man is innocent. You have the person who came back and said, I lied on this man.
Well,
okay?
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, Ethel. This is something that is definitely it's a bad situation. But we deal with these issues, and again, you don't know it until you go through it. And it really speaks to the fact that what people are doing, they're doing posturing is what they're doing. These are politicians. These are not people, and I don't, and politicians that are out there, don't be offended by that, because there are good politicians out there. But this is political posturing by District Attorney Dan May. And I'll tell you this right now, we're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep digging. We will seek justice. And as you figured out real quick by AJC Radio and the Just Cause, there's no stop in us on any level.
Absolutely.
Sam?
Hey, Lamont, yeah, and, you know, we're going to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have another comment by another caller. We're going to take that quick break. We appreciate the calls. We appreciate the comments in the chat room. This is AJC Radio, bringing the message of justice around the world. This is Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Lamont Banks, Cliff Stewart, and Lisa Stewart. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I ask you a question? Did you know that there are over 2.4 million people behind bars in the United States? I'll ask you one more question. Were you aware that that is the highest number of people behind bars in the entire world? The United States makes up of only 5% of the world's population. But we have over 25% of the world's prison population. America prides itself on being the most advanced and progressive nation on earth. However, sadly, we are also the world's most archaic. I'm going to give you a personal invitation to get involved with the fight against mass incarceration. Take a few moments to call 1-855-529-4252. That is a Just Cause, and we fight for justice. Again, call a Just Cause today. Don't delay. Call 1-855-529-4252. It is time, and I say high time, that we take America's incarceration seriously. Won't you join us? Call today.
Good morning, students, and welcome to Career Day. I hope you're excited to hear about all the great things you can do when you grow up.
Hi, everyone. I'm Emily. I'm super excited to introduce my dad because he's my hero. When I was little, my dad was away a lot. But I was okay with that because he was doing this really important work, driving ambulances in Iraq. Now he's at home, which is great for me because I get to see him every day now. And he's still the biggest hero I know because he tells all the ambulances and the fire engines where to go and rescue people when there's an emergency. I'm so proud of him. He's awesome. He's my dad.
If your service-connected disability prevents you from continuing in your civilian career, Voc Rehab offers counseling, training with a living allowance, education, and other services to help prepare you for your next mission.
If you were convicted of a crime you did not commit, what would you do? How would you feel to have your basic human rights stripped from you in a matter of seconds?
Each day, thousands of crimes are committed, and each day, thousands of people nationwide are convicted of crimes they did not commit.
Eyewitness misidentification is the number one factor that causes most wrongful convictions. This is due to the mind filling in blanks with things that seem right, or things that they hear from others, such as the police, media, and other witnesses. If you are unsure if the person that stands before you committed the crime, do not put an innocent person in jail. Don't convict the innocent.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Sam Thurman along with Cliff Stewart, Lisa Stewart, and Lamont Banks. This is AJC Radio bringing the message of justice around the world. And for our regular listeners, you know that Thursday evening is Spotlight on Capitol Hill. Coming up in a little while, we're going to be shining that spotlight on Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi out of the state of California. But one of the things that we wanted to go back to that we did not get a chance to complete discussions on in a previous program earlier in the week, that was the injustice, the continued injustice against our colleague Lamont Banks. And Lamont was wrongfully convicted and incarcerated in the state of Colorado for 7 years. And he is right now in the process of working at getting compensation. Now, the powers that be in the state and in the county of El Paso County are putting roadblocks up to try and prevent that from happening. And just prior to the break, Cliff, we were talking about the different craziness that's in this motion from the district attorney's office that's talking about, you know, that he has no right to petition for compensation because of their prosecutorial misconduct.
Well, and not only that, Sam, but then it goes farther. You know, they say that the when they came back and they retried him, they came back with this one count conviction. The appellate court threw that out, and then in their statement, they say that it was thrown out because the evidence was insufficient to establish basically, you know, guilt. They're saying the Court of Appeals held that the evidence was insufficient to establish basically what the crime was. Then they say because the petitioner's conviction was vacated due to the legal insufficiency of the evidence. Now, what is legal insufficiency of evidence if not that you committed no crime? You're innocent. Then they say not because you were actually innocent.
So in other words, Cliff, it sounds like they're saying that your case was vacated, it was overturned, because there was no evidence, there was lack of evidence. And, by the way, we committed prosecutorial misconduct along the way to try and convict you anyway, even though there was no evidence to convict you. And so sorry that you spent 7 years in prison, but you can't come and ask us for no money because we didn't have any evidence to put you away, and we committed misconduct in the process. That sounds about as stupid as how I just sounded.
Well, and it's totally insane because it says the evidence of actual innocence contained in the petition consists solely of trial testimony that amounts to an argument that the evidence was insufficient to convict. So the evidence is insufficient
to
convict me.
Sounds like innocence to me.
How am I not innocent? And if that evidence is insufficient to convict me, but I spent 7 years in prison based off of that conviction, how is it that I cannot get relief for that? That is the part that makes the system so flawed, so ridiculous, that they could even come with a claim to say, oh, yeah, well, you don't really have a claim, because even though you were falsely convicted, you spent time in prison for being convicted.
And there was no evidence.
There was no evidence. Your conviction was overturned. You were exonerated, but you're not innocent. There's no sensibility to it.
Let's get another comment on this one. We got someone in the queue waiting on the phone.
Yes, we have attorney Gwendolyn Solomon is on the line. Go ahead, Gwen, you're live.
Thank you. I wanted to comment because I reviewed the motion to dismiss from the district attorney's office, and I did see Dan as a man had corroborated with the Court of Appeals to request that Mr. Banks not be allowed to receive any funds. And I was just thinking about how injustice does take place in the system, because he could have done exactly what the chief of police in Baltimore did with the Freddie Gray case and took a stand for justice. go against the norm and do what was properly right, and then and endorse to allow Mr. Banks to go forward and be able to receive the funding. He didn't have to take a stand against or say that he felt that there was insufficiency of evidence. And when I read through the motion, it actually says, and I read some of the other documents that Mr. Banks had provided prior to, which was motion for innocence and also the documents from the appellate court, where he was acquitted, he did state that he was, it stated that he was acquitted by a jury declared not guilty. And the fact of the definition of acquitted means the legal and formal certification of innocence of a person who has been charged with a crime. So just the fact that they put that in both the situations when he got the case reversed, and when he also got his other convictions vacated and had his new trial, he stood before a jury, he got acquitted, stating that he was, in fact, innocent. When I looked up the definition according to they said it in the document for the motion to dismiss that the prosecution bases prosecution on speculation. I take that back. I'm sorry. That was in the appellate documents. But provided no evidence of a crime by Mr. Banks. So if there's no crime, actually, then that definitely means that there's innocence. And also, testimony was corroborated by more than one witness. It was corroborated by the daughter, a friend, and also the mother of the child that was claiming the actual crime. So I reviewed all those documents, and I came to the conclusion that I don't understand why it doesn't say that he is innocent or why they would even go about trying to fight the fact of releasing him or giving him the relief that's due him after he spent 7 years or 8 years in prison. His health is totally affected. His family life was affected. They have nothing supporting the fact that a crime was even committed. And, in fact, they even state by the fact that he was just cleaning the house, didn't even know that a tape recorder was going on or a video machine was recording anything at that time. The reason that everything was vacated was due to the fact of the facts in the case. Although standing, Mr. Banks should be awarded his relief that he's asking for, and that doesn't even amount to much after your health concerns, because he has those health concerns permanently now.
And that is exactly, I mean, that's exactly the point that that we're making. And thank you for the information, Gwen. That's the exact point that we're making, is how do they come to a conclusion that there is no innocence? It is, I mean, the only word that I can use is baffling. Well, I could also use insane and stupid and, politically motivated and all the things. It makes no sense whatsoever that you can say that a person, you didn't commit a crime, there was no evidence to support your guilt, but you're not innocent. It makes absolutely no sense to me. I cannot get over it. When I read that, I was totally thrown for a loop, because I'm trying to figure out what definition of innocent do you guys actually use to say that a person is innocent? And then furthermore, is it up to your discretion? That's another piece that really messes with you, because it's like, okay, if it's up to the discretion of the U.S. attorney, of the district attorney, where you got falsely convicted, then of course they don't want to spend any money on you because you spent time in prison for no particular reason. Of course they don't want to take taxpayer dollars and have to pay a person for keeping them locked in a cage for no reason. And of course they don't want to have to admit that, yes, we locked you up even though you were innocent. So they come up with some technical legal jargon that goes into pages and pages of what their so-called definition of innocence is. It makes no sense. It further takes the basically your trust in the system and say, it caused me to say, you know, I cannot have any faith in the system, even when they know and understand that a person is innocent. You still can't have faith in the system that's going to come back and wrong the right. And that's why when you look at Congress and you look at America and the citizens of our country, is that we have to have some type of reforms, because things like this, you have BOP, but then you have the state's attorney. You have everybody is fighting against the person who I already spent time in prison for no reason. Now you want to fight me on a few pennies, you know, that I would be, you can't even say awarded, because I lost 7 years of my life, and you want to fight me for a measly $70,000 a year in compensation, which cannot compensate for your health.
And you know, Cliff, that is exactly why, like you were just stating, there is such an outcry in the country right now for judicial reform, prison reform, sentencing reform, just across the board. And it is, I mean, it doesn't take you very long, even in a single day, to sit and look at some of the things that's coming across Twitter or Facebook or whatever. And on the news wires, there are forums all over the place where folks are talking about judicial reform. So, you know, well, something that we're going to keep tracking.
Go ahead, Lamont. What are you saying?
Yeah, and I'll tell you right now that, like you said earlier, Sam, this is an epidemic. This is not something that's isolated. This happens every day in this country. If you look at the cases that people have, thousands of cases in courtrooms every day. Imagine the injustice that's going on with all of those cases. That's an epidemic, because it affects the masses, and that's why the fight has to be what it is. Again, we're not going anywhere. We're going to fight. We're going to inform everybody across this country, Capitol Hill, whoever. Something has to be done, it has to happen now.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And that's one of the things that we will continue to fight for here on at A Just Cause and on AJC Radio. All right, time to shift gears. And folks, you know, as you heard earlier, this is Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday right here on AJC Radio, where we bring the message of justice around the world. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Cliff Stewart, Lisa Stewart, and Lamont Banks. Our phone number this evening is 347-838-8976. Our spotlight this evening is on Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. She's the congresswoman representing the 12th District of the state of California. And, you know, the spotlight on Capitol Hill is reaching, the momentum is just out of this world. The response that we are getting on a weekly basis is tremendous. And I know Lisa and Cliff, during the times on some of the trips that you guys have made in Lamont to Washington, D.C., and when you announced to various Congress members of Congress and the Senate and some of their aides what we were going to be doing on AJC Radio, Lisa, what kind of feedback did you get and what kind of response did we get?
Well, Sam, the members of Congress were so excited. We had so much positive feedback. We've got members who we are holding off on bringing on because they're trying to make sure that they can get it in their schedule to be on air with us when we're doing them in particular. Everyone we talked to was so excited and thought it was such a great thing, because not everybody knows the good things that Congress is doing. And they were just thrilled that somebody is saying, you know, hey, Congress is doing some good stuff, and we're trying to promote the different members of Congress from all over the country that are out there actually doing something good for this country.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Lamont.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Lamont.
Pelosi's office today, when we talked to those folks over there, they were excited. They were thrilled. We forwarded the press release, and that's one thing folks need to know as well. There's a press release every week for the people we spotlight on Capitol Hill, and they were just overwhelmed that somebody is trying to put a foot forward. And like you said, Sam, it's echoing all throughout Capitol Hill. We've talked to aides, we've talked to directors, and to the point where the congressmen have gone back to the archives of AJCRadio.com and listened, and were just thrilled that somebody is speaking and doing what we're doing. I think it's a fabulous thing.
Absolutely. Hey, and, you know, before we jump too far into the conversation about Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, and we have a few clips that basically sharing with her, showing her in action. And so do we have that clip ready? Let's go to a clip right now of Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi.
So I was reflecting the other day on the course of your career. The first political convention I covered was 1984, Walter Mondale in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. You were active in politics at that time. And the San Francisco Democrats, especially in cultural terms, were seen as out of step with the rest of the country.
They were referencing in many ways the pride we took in our LGBT community at that time. I always said to people, pay attention to what we're saying, because you will be saying it sometime soon.
Now people look at the House and say, given the way districts are drawn and the number of competitive seats, you guys can't win the House back, even though the country has moved in your direction on cultural issues.
I don't necessarily subscribe to that.
You don't think it's going to be another 10 years before Democrats can win back the House?
Not at all. We're very excited. I mean, we have met people who want to run. They believe they can win. It's a presidential year.
Do you have any concern, as Hillary Clinton is running, that there is any residual, important residual resistance to the idea of a woman president?
I think the American people are so far ahead of the political leadership in Washington, D.C. You can't say I should be elected because I'm a woman and Hillary Clinton does not. That Hillary Clinton happens to be a woman is a wonderful thing. But I, yes, have confidence. I think she will be one of the most qualified people to go into the Oval Office in a long time.
Jeb Bush has now formally gotten into the race, and he addressed the issue of dynastic Clinton to Clinton, Bush to Bush, and he said, no, the issue is this country shouldn't be passed from one liberal to the next.
Oh.
What do you think about that?
Isn't that something? That's cute, as they say in Texas. It's cute.
Do you feel any pressure from younger members of your caucus who want their turn to be the leader to retire?
No, I don't feel any pressure from younger members of Congress. Maybe other members of Congress, but not necessarily younger members of Congress. I'm here at the
So you're talking
pleasure.
About standing.
No, I'm not talking about standing. I'm just talking about anybody. Yeah. I'm talking about reporters.
Yeah.
Did any of you ever ask Tip O'Neill, don't you think you're a little old for the job? I don't think so.
Very much to the point, and you know, doing my research of her, totally impressed. And she doesn't hold her tongue on anything, and that's what you need in Washington. You have to have that. Very impressive lady.
Absolutely, and Lamont, you know, when we look at the background of Nancy Pelosi, you know, she has been there for what, 27 years, and now representing the 12th district. As a House of Representatives, but you know, she set a milestone with being the first woman to be the Speaker of the House. And it says, you know, as part of her biography, it says that under the leadership of Pelosi, the 111th Congress was held as one of the most productive Congresses in history. And President Barack Obama called Speaker Pelosi an extraordinary leader for the American people. And then even the Christian Science Monitor went on to say that, make no mistake, Nancy Pelosi is the most powerful woman in American politics and the most powerful speaker since Sam Rayburn a half century ago. That's a lot right there. Lamont, what do you think?
No, I mean, I totally agree. I think Congresswoman Pelosi, you know, she's an inspiration, I believe, to the young girls coming up in America right now. You know, you may be at home tonight and, you know, there's no aspirations for politics, maybe for your little one. But I'll tell you what, this is what makes America what it is. And you'll hear later on in the show with some other clips that we have put together on Congresswoman Pelosi. This woman is serious. And to be able to go under the scrutiny that she has gone under as being a woman and a leader of the House and all of those things that come with the good old boys network, if you will, and for her to maintain that longevity, 27 years, And I'm not talking somebody who hides in their office and kind of peeks out the curtain and say, okay, I'll make sure I come out or not. This is a woman who comes out vocally, and you're going to hear from her through what we've gathered and the information we've gathered. Sam, I'm telling you, this is what America's about. If you'll notice on Spotlight on Capitol Hill, every week I'm at a loss for words again. But for what these people are doing and the striving that they're doing to make a difference in the lives of the American people. She talks about her grandchildren and she talks about her kids and how much that family means to her and the reason civil rights have to be protected, the reason why Congress must work in a bipartisan fashion to get stuff done. And I think it's just... it's amazing to me. It just takes a little bit of the click of a mouse to read and to learn about these Congress people on Capitol Hill, man. I think they've got a bad rap, a lot of them. Now, you got some up there that are just doing whatever, but I'm telling you, you got some warriors up there, and I'm grateful that we have an opportunity at least to show the American people that.
And, you know, Lamont, even in recent or current events, current news, Congresswoman Pelosi and her alliance with President Obama is very strong, and her support for President Obama is very strong. And so, you know, one of the things that's in the news right now is the Iranian nuclear program, the deal that's being drafted there. And, you know, Pelosi has come out and with some strong language in support of President Obama when, you know, folks across the aisle sometimes don't want to support the president and some of the things that he's doing. And, you know, Congresswoman Pelosi is quoted as saying that this was the product of tough, talking about the Iranian nuclear program deal, that this was the product of tough, bold, clear-eyed leadership on the part of President Obama. And she goes on to say that this agreement is precisely about intensifying our vigilance over every aspect of the Iranian nuclear program. We have no illusions about Iran. So, you know, when you talk about forming an alliance, political alliance, whether it's within your own party or even bipartisan, it says a lot when, you know, someone can speak highly of you, but then you can also show your support for your leadership. And so that's I think, part of the fabric of who Nancy Pelosi is. We're going to jump into a little bit more about Nancy Pelosi as we continue on with AJC Radio, where we bring the message of justice around the world. This is Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday, and we're going to continue our discussion here in a moment after we take a break. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Cliff Stewart, Lisa Stewart, and Lamont Banks. Our phone number this evening is 347-838-8976. 347-838-8976. The chat room is open as well. If you have a question or a comment regarding the work of Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Anyone who's been sent to prison who's innocent? The United States is experiencing record numbers of exonerations in cases where people were wrongfully convicted of crimes they did not commit. If you believe that no one should be sent to prison for crimes they didn't commit, there is something that you can do today. By remembering a just cause with a monthly, annual, or one-time donation, you can help in the fight against wrongful convictions. Call a just cause at 855-529-4252 or visit a-justcause.com and click the donate button. A Just Cause is a 501c3. Wrongful convictions are wrong. Let's be the voice of those who can't speak from behind the wall.
Our children are literally eating themselves to death.
Many experts predict that this may be the first generation of children that doesn't live as long as their parents because of the problem of obesity.
A quarter of American children don't exercise regularly. The average school-aged child watches 4 to 6 hours of TV every day, bombarded by commercials for fast food and junk.
How you make these kinds of lifestyle changes in your kids is to make them yourself.
Make the effort. Fight childhood obesity. A message from the Government of Canada.
Did you know that over 1.5 million children in America have parents that are incarcerated?
These children cope with the pain
through drugs, alcohol,
anger, and violence.
It is so important.
It is so important for communities to provide preventative and intervention services.
Don't make them do it alone.
Become a part of the community.
The community.
Become a part of the community for hope.
We have a big problem, and we need your help.
It's happening on college campuses, at bars, at parties, even in high schools.
It's happening to our sisters and our daughters,
our wives and our friends.
It's called sexual assault, and it has to stop.
We have to stop it. So listen up.
If she doesn't consent, or if she can't consent, it's rape, it's assault.
It's a crime. It's wrong.
If I saw it happening, I was taught you have to do something about it.
If I saw it happening, I speak up.
If I saw it happening, I'd never blame her. I'd help her.
Because I don't want to be a part of the problem.
I want to be a part of the solution.
We need all of you to be part of the solution. This is about respect. It's about responsibility.
It's up to all of us to put an end to sexual assault. And that starts with you.
Because one is too many.
Good evening, America. Thanks for staying with us. This is AJC Radio, bringing the message of justice around the world. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Lamont Banks, Cliff Stewart, and Lisa Stewart. And this is Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday, where we are putting the spotlight on Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. She's been in Congress for 27 years. And, Lamont, she's doing a lot of work there. I mean, she has either been the sponsor or co-sponsor on various legislation to include things regarding the voting rights, wage acts. You also, as you dig deeper, even going to the extent of reforming some of the things that have the way Wall Street conducts their business and the Supreme Court. I mean, even this year. There's a bill that's called the Supreme Court Ethics Act of 2015. And so, she's involved in a lot of things there, Lamont.
Well, yeah, she is, Sam. And I'll tell you what, if you notice the committees that she's on, the Appropriations Committee, Banking and Finance, Urban Affairs, Government Operations, Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, Standards of Official Conduct, Joint Committee and Inaugural Ceremonies. I mean, this is when you got that many years under your belt in Congress, she is definitely and they call when they answer the phone in Washington. Thank you for calling the Democratic leader's office today, and she's proven to be a leader.
Well, she is. She is.
And I'm very, very impressed with her. And she's like as I said earlier, she doesn't hold any punches. She's going to fight. I believe her position is to fight for the American people. You'll see here. On the bill for immigration, Sam, H.R. 390.396, and I want to make sure I pronounce this right, for the relief of Maria Carmen Castro Ramirez and J. Refugio Carino Rojas. Please forgive me of that if I slaughtered that. It says the bill states that these folks each would be eligible for issuance of an immigrant visa or for adjustment of status to that of an alien lawfully admitted for permanent residence upon filing an application for issuance of an immigrant visa under Section 204. What this, if you know, and you'll probably know this, Sam and Lisa and Cliff, the huge debate over immigration, over the borders being safe, and all those things that are going on with that. And she made a good point, and we're going to get ready to play that clip. And she is talking about the importance of the children suffering as a result of the lack of bipartisanship, and not, you know, Congress and people not wanting to work together to make something happen. And everything the president has submitted has been trying to find a way. You're familiar with the DREAM Act, Sam, right?
Yes.
And that was, man, that was a huge thing across this country with the Latino community. Lives matter. People matter. It doesn't matter where you come from, what you're about. And I think President Obama did the human thing in regards to that. And that's to say, look, if you came to this country, you're 1 or 2 years old, and you're born here or whatever the case is, you shouldn't have to worry about why you're going to college, that somebody's going to snatch you out and say, hey, you got to get out of here. That's barbaric. That's not supposed to be America. And that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But we're going to get ready to go into this clip. And let's see if that's ready. And Sam, as we talked earlier, do you know how many people contribute from the Latino community to the financial success of this country? Not only that, they have homes. They build communities. They go to our churches. They go to our picnics. They go to our schools. They go to our banks. They go to our grocery stores. America is about offering that American dream. Is that right?
That's right. That's
and
right.
Let's get ready to hear a little bit. We got a part one and a part two of this. Sam, I guess we'll do the part one and come back and discuss it. And go ahead and play what Ms. Pelosi, Congresswoman Pelosi, is saying about the immigration.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thank the gentlewoman for yielding. The time is late. The cause is great. We must have clarity in how we understand what is before us. Today, we had an opportunity to work together to address the humanitarian emergency at the border. Instead, it is a day of missed opportunity. The Republican leadership has rejected our hand of friendship to compromise on this supplemental. Instead of bringing legislation forward that could solve this problem really and truly, it has resisted the appeals of humanitarian and religious leaders across all faiths. The evangelical immigration table calls on us to ensure that our response strengthens our country's tradition of providing safety and refuge to the vulnerable. This legislation that we have before us does not do that. It is wrong. But don't take my word for it. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops urges members to oppose 5230 and work together to craft legislation that is more befitting the United States of America and the American people's history of compassion and generosity to vulnerable children and refugees. The Archbishop of Miami, Thomas Wensky, speaking on their behalf, has said, of this legislation, the two pieces of legislation before us, this is a sad day for our country, the Archbishop wrote. A chamber of Congress is poised to send vulnerable children back to danger and possible death. It violates our commitment to human rights and due process of the law and lessens us as a nation. That's what the Archbishop said. In their letter, the bishops further state their opposition to H.R. 5232 and say that it stems from its elimination of the Deferred Action for Children's Arrivals Program, otherwise known as DACA. In conclusion, the bishops write, how our nation responds to this humanitarian challenge is a moral test of our national character. We ask that you oppose H.R. 5230 and 5232, which we feel fail to live up to that test. Others, such as the American Bar Association, write, due to their age, lack of education, language, and cultural barriers, and the complexity of U.S. immigration law, these vulnerable children face insurmountable obstacles to proving their claims before an immigration judge on their own. It is the children who are most likely to be eligible for some relief under the law who may least be able to articulate their experiences under this proposed procedure. They've been through a lot of trauma, and we want to add to that.
Well, I'll tell you that, Sam. Wow. Somebody give me a blanket with the American flag on it, because I'll tell you what, this is a warrior of justice here. This is about what she said, Sam, that stood out to me, and you can hear her passion. That what about these children that suffer as a Congress refuses, because a Democrat is in the office or a Republican is in the office, will not break that. We have people up there that are breaking through that and working to get things done. Why is that an issue? And when does human life, children, and you know what? It sounds like Congresswoman Pelosi is connected with the American people. She's connected with families. And I relate to her. Sam, your thoughts on that, man?
Well, you know, obviously, in listening to that clip, you know, she is pushing for legislation that is critical to her constituency as well as to the nation. And I think not only in Washington, D.C., but even across the country, and regardless of the industry that you may be in, you know, Lisa, I think sometimes people are intimidated by strong leadership and by a strong woman.
Well, most definitely a strong woman, which, I mean, I there's nothing greater to me than to see a strong woman. That's one of the greatest things that I can ever see. I love to see strong women standing up for what they believe, and I think we have too little of it, because you have what do you want to call them, male chauvinists that, sure. That don't want to hear what women have to say. And maybe it's because I'm a woman, but I love to hear a strong woman talking and saying what she feels and standing up for what she believes.
Well, and this is a good point. You know, folks, this isn't the Leave It to Beaver era in America.
No, it is not.
Where the dad comes home, puts the car in the garage, and Miss Cleaver is in the kitchen with an apron and saying, "Are you ready for supper, kids?" Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to wake up. This is a new time in our country. And if we are limited, Lisa, as you said, that we believe women have something to say. 27 years in the on Capitol Hill, Congresswoman Pelosi, I'll tell you, I got a great deal of respect for you. And you know what? I can learn a heck of a lot from you of how to relate and relate to the American people. You're not there 27 years unless somebody's believing in what you're doing.
And you know, Lamont, you were raised by a strong woman.
Absolutely.
You're going to have an appreciation for a strong woman. That's going to be, you're going to be probably different from a lot of men out there. Not every man, but a lot of men out there.
Sure.
But, I mean, one thing that stood out to me about Congresswoman Pelosi, when I was doing the reading on her, they were saying that under the leadership of Pelosi, the 111th Congress was heralded as one of the most productive Congresses in history. Also, President Obama called Speaker Pelosi an extraordinary leader for the American people. And the Christian Science Monitor wrote, "Make no mistake, Nancy Pelosi is the most powerful woman in American politics and the most powerful House Speaker since Sam Rayburn a half century ago." And all I can say to Congresswoman Pelosi is, you go.
Well, I'll tell you what, Sam, this is about somebody who needs to, again, without leadership, the country goes astray. We have issues, leadership. We have to see beyond the limited vision of what we have. And Lisa, when you make the point that she talks about some of the things, you said they were hailed as a productive Congress.
The most productive
in history.
Well, let's hear a little bit about what they've accomplished with Congresswoman Pelosi at her post. Let's play the clip.
We call this convention to order to nominate a new leader for our time. Barack Obama as the next president of the United States. Two years ago, the American people set our nation in a new direction by electing new Democratic majorities in Congress committed to real change. I'm very proud of the Democrats in Congress. Working with Majority Leader Harry Reid in the Senate, here are some of our accomplishments. After years of inaction by Republicans, in our very first act, we passed the 9/11 Commission recommendation to protect the American people. That was just the beginning. We helped rebuild the Gulf Coast for the survivors of Hurricane Katrina and Rita. We put recovery rebates into the hands of more than 130 million families. We passed legislation to keep hardworking American families in their homes and to keep toxic toys out of the hands of our children. We increased the minimum wage for the first time in 10 years. Efficiency for the first time in 32 years. We passed the largest college aid expansion since the GI Bill passed 64 years ago. And we passed the largest veterans health care increase in funding in the 77-year history of the Veterans Administration.
Well, don't you tell me a woman can't get something accomplished.
I mean, yeah.
That woman has gotten some things accomplished. That is just incredible to me.
And here is, you know, folks, pull out the flag, man. You know what? That's going to be mandated here on AJC Radio. This is the American spirit at its best.
That's right.
Congresswoman Pelosi. Name. She's not talking the talk. She's walking the walk. She says, let me just name a few, Sam, of our accomplishments since I've been at my post. You know what I mean? If that doesn't get you all riled up, man, I don't know what will. And I'm going to tell you, that'll do something for you that a football game can't, because this is America. And when you hear people saying, man, this is what we've done. You know what? I'm not taking a vacation in Washington. I'm out here doing what the American people sent us to do. Is that, man, that is over the top, man.
And I'm not one of these people that's taken back by people that are in authority or want to meet every congressman and every senator. But Nancy Pelosi, I would like to shake her hand and meet her and talk to her. She is one of the strongest women I've ever seen, next to my mother, one of the strongest women. And I think it's awesome to see her doing the things that she's doing. It's awesome.
It absolutely is, Sam.
Well, and you know, I don't know if you guys recall just a couple of months ago, Cliff, where there was the debate that was going on in the Senate with regard to passage of the USA Freedom Act. And you know, that is a situation that put our nation at jeopardy when you're talking about passing something that is critical to tracking information about terrorists and so forth and so on. I mean, and that you know, that's something that we're very sensitive about because of the IRP6. And Congresswoman Pelosi, you know, came out and made a statement that, you know, Congress has a responsibility to protect the security and liberty of the American people. And back in June, she said that after the dangerous, unnecessary, and avoidable lapse of authorization of the national security tools, the Republican Senate has finally passed the USA Freedom Act. So, you know, that was her comment after they got over the hump. But there was a period there where I think, you know, our nation was vulnerable. And as you were saying, Lamont, Congresswoman Pelosi is, you know, she has every aspect of our nation and the concerns of the people of this nation at heart. And when you look at things like the USA Freedom Act, and like I said, you know, it's close to us because it talks about the kind of things that the IRP6 were working on when you talk about the, you know, case investigative lifecycle software and all that, and how the nation is, you know, every day concerned about the ISIS crisis. Well, you know, that's something that obviously Congresswoman Pelosi is very sensitive about.
Well, you know, you hear all the time, as you hear her talk, Sam, this woman doesn't stop there. She has and this is what's most important. We said this the other night on the program. Who are the future of America? It's little Johnny tucked in his Batman bed tonight as we get ready to, it's past dusk. in New York City. And I'll tell you this right now. What the freedom in which he lays under, I'll tell you this. He can grow up and say, man, I'm grateful for Congresswoman Pelosi. Says here, additional key legislation passed in the law include the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act to restore the ability of women and all workers to access our judicial system to fight pay discrimination. Legislation to provide health care for 11 million American children. National service legislation and hate crimes legislation. This is what we are talking about. This is what keeps the country rolling. This is what keeps people to get up in the morning and say, man, give me a cup of coffee or a cappuccino or let me swing by Starbucks, because there's a level of motivation that's happening when you hear these people, these elected officials that you went to a poll and you said, we want you. But you didn't say it. Every 4 years for the last 27 years, you said, we believe in you, Congresswoman Pelosi. And I'll tell you what, Lisa, you say you want to meet her. I guarantee we will meet her.
Oh, I'm going to meet
and
her.
And shake her hand, man. Do you guys feel the energy in here? I mean, the temperature is rising because, look, this is America and this is what it is about, Sam. What do you think?
Well, I agree. I mean, and Cliff, when you look at members of Congress and members of the Senate who are involved in this type of legislation, and, you know, when again, going back to the strong leadership that Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi has provided, and that's your home state, you know, Cliff?
Right, and what you have to look at, you know, Mont mentioned how long she has held that seat, and that is no small task. To be in there for that many years, when you look at the state of California, I mean, the volatility of the citizens of California is no joke. I mean, it's not like a retirement state, you know, a place people go to, you know, like Colorado, hey, I'm going out to, you know, go to nature and find, you know, somewhere to rest. California is this hustle bustle. Everybody's going there. I want to be a part of Hollywood. I want to be a star. You know, everything that everybody wants, they think they find it in California. Nancy Pelosi has held down that spot for 27 years. That is no small accomplishment, and it speaks to her tenacity. It speaks to, like Lisa said, to her strength, to her willpower that says, I am not just somebody. You don't walk over Ms. Nancy Pelosi. That's not the way it happens.
Well, I'll tell you this, Sam, if I can throw this in here, Cliff, to your response. It says, one of Pelosi's first legislative victories was the creation of the Housing Opportunities for People with AIDS program. She has also worked to accelerate development of HIV vaccine, expand access to Medicaid for people living with HIV, and increase funding for the Ryan White Care Act, the Minority HIV AIDS Initiative, and other programs vital to people living with or at risk of AIDS. Is there a halo somewhere for Congresswoman Pelosi? Man, Sam, that's awesome stuff right there.
Absolutely. And you know, as we were saying earlier, it goes across the board. And as you know, the nation just celebrated the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act. Unfortunately, we are faced with a situation where the provisions of the Voting Rights Act were allowed to just kind of, you know, vanish. And that's one of the things that when we come back from break, you know, if we can talk about that just a little bit and hear some of the things and talk about some of the things that Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi has stated regarding that. I mean, there is a lot of blood, sweat, and tears was shed in this nation to ensure that everyone was on an equal playing field.
Sure.
And to allow that to just lapse is totally uncalled for. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that. It's Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday right here on AJC Radio. Don't go anywhere. I'm Sam Thurman along with Cliff Stewart, Lisa Stewart, and Lamont Banks. We're bringing the message of justice around the world. Do you know anyone who's been sent to prison who is innocent? The United States is experiencing record numbers of exonerations in cases where people were wrongly convicted of crimes that they did not commit. If you believe that no one should be sent to prison for crimes they didn't commit, there is something that you can do today. By remembering A Just Cause with a monthly, annual, or one-time donation, you can help in the fight against wrongful convictions. Call A Just Cause, toll-free, at 1-855-529-4252. Again, 1-855-529-4252. Or visit www.a-justcause.com and click the donate button. Wrongful convictions are wrong. Let's be the voice of those who can't speak from behind the wall. A Just Cause is a 501c3. Lamont, you know, when I hear things about civil rights and when you hear folks who are passionate about issues of equality, I mean, that's powerful, because you don't find that in every walk of life. I mean, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times people give lip service to it, and a lot of times, you know, people have one face, you know, and Congresswoman Pelosi, and for our listeners, by the way, this is Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday, as we're putting the spotlight on Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. And during that clip, you know, she was talking about, you know, the politics of issues, and but then when you take the seriousness of it, yeah, there is a certain part of gamesmanship. There's a certain part of the thrill of politics. But when you have something that you're really passionate about, that's critical to our nation moving forward. Bon?
Well, no, absolutely. And, you know, I got chill bumps right now. You know, when you hear someone speak with passion.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You know when something is just political. You could hear the sincerity,
yeah,
in Congresswoman Pelosi's language, and I'll tell you what: if you just read some of the bills, Sam Lisa Cliff, that she just the titles, Voting Rights Advancement Act of 2015, Raise the Wage Act, Keeping Our Campaigns Honest Act, Supreme Court Ethics Act. I mean, it goes on and on. This is about a woman of integrity. When you see someone that jumps on bills to sponsor those titles, that talks and speaks to the character of an elected official, Sam. It speaks to who Nancy Pelosi is.
Absolutely. And you know, before the break, we were talking about the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act, which in August of 1965, President Lyndon Baines Johnson signed that into law. And Congresswoman Pelosi made a statement that, you know, as President Johnson said at the signing ceremony at the Capitol Rotunda, the Voting Rights Act marked a triumph for freedom as huge as any victory that has ever been won on any battlefield. Now, when you think about that and you think about what it meant, and then when Congresswoman Pelosi goes on to say, yet, a half a century later, the fight for voting rights endures because of the fact that a case, Shelby County versus Holder, Supreme Court decision in 2013, it was as if, you know, well, what happened 50 years ago, well, okay, well, that was fine. All is well. You know, all is not well in our nation. I mean, that's just evidenced by the police brutality, the injustice. We were talking about your case earlier, Lamont, with the prosecutorial misconduct. The nation is not fine. We have to keep these safeguards in place. I don't care what anybody calls it out there. You know, you can say that, well, we don't need that anymore. We don't need this anymore. No, we need some safeguards, because there are people out there who are just waiting for the opportunity to set the clock back 200 years. And if they try to do that, then, oh, man, it's they thought Ferguson was bad.
Well, look, this is why, ladies and gentlemen, the little sticker you put on your lapel after you've gone to the poll to vote means so much. And Sam, we alluded to this with some of the other folks we have spotlighted on Capitol Hill. I'll tell you what, man, this is important.
Yeah.
These folks on the level of Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, you do not see every day.
You're right.
They have to be valued. They have to be respected. And they have to be supported by the American people.
Absolutely. And you know, I look at this one other comment that Congresswoman Pelosi made with regard to the voting rights and as what you're talking about, Lamont. And I think the power that's in this statement is so true when she said that voting rights are vital to sustaining and strengthening our democracy and ensuring that the voices of all Americans are heard. Congress must live up to the promise of our democracy and act swiftly to pass a renewed, strengthened, and bipartisan Voting Rights Act for the sake of our democracy and our country's future. That was Nancy Pelosi making that comment just a couple of days ago in a press release dated August 6, 2015, which is right on the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act. And, you know, Cliff, when you hear something like that, and I know, you know, you've talked about different issues with civil rights, voting rights, all the things that people take for granted. And you know, I know you've talked about it passionately from the standpoint of, you know, folks don't have anything to complain about if they don't go to the ballot box. And too many lives were lost to give voting rights to everyone. And when you have folks like Congresswoman Pelosi who's fighting for it and other members of Congress as well, what do you think about that, Cliff?
Well, what it shows you about Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi is that this is beyond political posturing. This is beyond saying, you know, I'm just speaking political jargon because of the party that I'm in. I'm talking about things that run along party lines. You know, I'm making nice statements about the president because he's a Democrat. Nancy Pelosi goes beyond that. She's shown, and her track record speaks for itself, but even in the civil rights and human rights era, you know, the avenue that she takes there, this is not only about America. I mean, she fights for human rights in China. She fights for human rights around the world. She goes about to say, hey, When you even the World Banks, if you as a World Bank, you have to, before we as America do business with you, you have to show what impact you show on your indigenous people if you're in a, you know, area that may be close to a third world country. She looks at the rights of other humans as more than this is just a political statement that I'm making.
Sure.
This is something around the world that she does because this is who she is as a person. You could have a politician who is a politician in front of the microphone, in front of the camera, but they're a total different person. That's what makes them a true politician, is because they can morph to be what they need to be in front of the public. When you have a person who speaks their heart, speaks their mind, and stands for what they truly believe and have a 27-year track record of doing such, then all you can do is commend that person and say, this is why you're spotlighted on our show, on Spotlight on Capitol Hill, because you're not just the typical politician.
Well, no, she's not. And, you know, it says here, Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, in wake of the September 11 terrorist attacks, Pelosi led congressional reviews of the U.S. intelligence and security agencies and authored legislation to create an independent national commission to assess the overall performance of the federal government before doing it after those attacks. And Cliff, to your point, it says here that Congresswoman Pelosi has long been an advocate for human rights around the world. Think of that. There is no political gain for her for that.
Exactly.
There's
these are not people who can vote for her. The citizens of China cannot vote for Nancy Pelosi to remain in office.
And she says here, she says that Congresswoman Pelosi has fought to improve China's human rights record, attempting to tie trade to increased human rights standards. She has also been a leader on efforts to free the people of Tibet, a leader on the environment at home, in here, right here at home. She's a leader and abroad. Congresswoman Pelosi secured passage of a provision in the International Development and Finance Act of 1989, which requires the World Bank and all the regional multilateral development banks to review the potential environment impacts of development projects to which they provide funding, and to make these environmental assessments publicly available. You're talking about transparency, man. Transparency, whatever. I can't say that word. But I'll tell you this, man. This is what makes you proud for the democracy here in the United States, that I can get out of my bed and go to a poll and put you in office if I choose to do so. That's why everybody, young people, we got an election coming up, 2016, Sam. You know what? If you didn't think your vote counted there in California 27 years ago, and the impact is still being felt, and I believe they call it tremors after an earthquake, don't they, Cliff, from California?
Yeah, tremors and aftershocks, and that's what you see. I mean, 27 years later, she's still, her track record is still continuous. This is not a hypocritical or political stance.
Not at all.
This is who she is as Nancy Pelosi, as the woman, as the human, and It just speaks so much to, like you said, Lamont, that people need to get out, get to the polls.
Yeah.
But not only that, you do your background research. You know, we say on Spotlight on Capitol Hill here on AJC Radio that we don't just, you know, grab a name out of a hat and say we're going to spotlight you. This is research that says this person is worthy of having a spotlight, of showing who they are and what they've done for the country, for their constituents, for the American people on the whole. That's why we say that, you know, sure, you can get information from us at AJC Radio, but go out, do your research,
sure,
understand, find out who the people that you're voting for, who they are on both sides of the aisle, because it's not always the party that you're with is the person that has that, you know, that's taking the stance that has your best interest at heart. You need to understand who they are as a person, what they stand for, and then place your vote accordingly. But do your research and vote.
No, absolutely. Cliff, we need to put you on a commercial for Get Out the Vote. I'll tell you what, this is important, ladies and gentlemen. We can sit back and say our votes don't matter, but Nancy Pelosi is the poster child, Sam, that your vote matters. And I'm telling you, when somebody is taking these steps, 27 years, man.
Absolutely.
And has not got tired, continues to press. These things that we read tonight, some of the titles, that is legislation pending 2015. So that's why it is so very important that we address these issues, Sam. And man, I'm excited. I cannot wait to have the privilege of meeting Lisa, as you said, Congresswoman Pelosi.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Lamont, she comes from a long line of public servants. And her father was the mayor of the city of Baltimore for 12 years. However, her father also served 5 terms in Congress. And then her brother, Thomas D'Alessandro III, and her father was Thomas D'Alessandro Jr., but her brother also served as the mayor of Baltimore. So, you know, she is one who grew up around folks who are, you know, public servants at the local level or at the state level, as well as at the national level. So I'm sure that with her father being a member of Congress for several terms, she learned some of her skill, but you know, you can learn things from your folks. You know, it's passed along through you to you, but then you establish yourself as someone who can get the job done.
Well, and I'll tell you that, Sam. It, you know, the environment in Washington D.C. You're talking about a jungle, and you have to have some pretty strong pedigree.
Oh yeah,
to be able to survive,
you got to watch your back.
And I'll tell you this. Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi doesn't hold back. She attacks where she needs to, And that's what I call a lion in the midst of a jungle. Let's see what she had to say.
Why then would we this one time with this president decide that we would put up barriers so extreme like changing the Constitution in order to lift the death limit? As a mathematical requirement, of course we must all reduce the deficit. But is it our best to say we're going to use the debate to reduce the deficit to destroy the public space? Look at the appropriations bills they're bringing before us. Destroying the public space of clean air, clean water, food safety, the education of our children, the health, the financial security of our seniors through Medicare and Medicaid. That's what they are doing. This is it. If we are just reducing the deficit here, we have come to those conclusions. We have to do it. We know how to do it. But if they want to take it to the next step of destroying the public sector, we cannot go to that place when it affects the air our children breathe, the water they drink, the food they eat, the education they receive, the safety of the neighborhoods in which they live. The speaker also said that the bill was not perfect. Well, no bill is perfect. But I think that I disagree in one respect. I think this bill is perfect in its absurdity. It is perfect. His bill was perfectly absurd. Perfectly absurd. Perfectly absurd, again, to say to a president, after 32 times lifting the debt ceiling, we're going to change the game for you, Mr. President. It's perfectly absurd for them to say that the bill they brought to the floor yesterday, the Boehner bill that they brought to the floor, was an agreement of the four leaders of the House and Senate, Democratic and Republican. Either you don't know what you're talking about, or it's a perfect absurdity, and I will not yield to you.
Well, there you have it, Sam. You know what? Wow.
Hey, when someone tried to cut her off, it's like, I will not yield.
I'm not yielding to you. This is the type of fight you need on Capitol Hill. And I guarantee you, she's been in a few. You know, they say all the time that when you've been in battle, your uniform gets a little scraped up. Your helmet's nicked up. Your pants and your everything seems to be worn and battered. And I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi has been battling for 27 years in our nation's capital. And I'm going to tell you what, I wouldn't want to mess with that lady, Sam, would you?
Not after hearing that clip. No.
No, you better back up.
She's not messing around. And you gentlemen out there that sit on your couch and think a woman can't do what a man can, we proved you wrong tonight on this program that Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi is going against the odds.
That's
and
right.
Making some things happen. Folks, you know what? And there's a lot of women out there that listen to this program across the USA. And here at AJC Radio, we believe in women's rights. And we believe that women are the strength of a nation. Behind every president in the White House, there's a woman there that stands to enhance that president's ability. And you can say what you want, folks, and frown up maybe, but guess what? We don't really mind too much of that here on AJC Radio. Lisa, I tell you what, man, if I need some blood pressure medicine to get it down right now, I'm telling you, we're pumped up here on AJC Radio, man. This woman is doing some things that folks should be inspired tonight. What do you think, Lisa?
Absolutely. I think she is an inspiration to women everywhere, not just women, but to Americans.
Absolutely.
To everyone. Unless you're one of those male chauvinists that I was speaking about earlier, she's an inspiration to everyone in this country and proving that the underdog, which is what women have been for so many years, can step up and say, no, I'm not going to back down. I'm going to do what needs to be done, and I'm not taking no for an answer.
And I'll tell you what, Lisa, you know, it kind of puts you in a position that if you were a chauvinist before calling this program tonight, a male chauvinist, excuse me, you may want to rethink your title because folks are making some things happen, and that's Congresswoman Pelosi, man. I tell you, this is good stuff. Cliff, as I sit here and and get the energy going here. What are you feeling right now, man?
Well, I know one thing, that 5-hour energy kicked in on you.
Well, I tell you what, we were.
You know, it's well founded. I mean, when you listen to the passion of Nancy Pelosi,
yeah.
And she refuses to let anybody back her down on what she feels, what she believes, what she fights for. This is who we need as politicians. This Nancy Pelosi changes the entire what your perception of a politician is.
Sure.
When you see a person like her that's fighting and saying, when she's telling this other member, look, I will not yield to you, and what you're saying is an absolute absurdity, that is a type of strength. That is the type of stance that we need that would change the nation. These are the type of people who can change laws to say, make the laws for the people and by the people.
Well, here's what's awesome. Sam, she is no longer the House leader as a result of the election.
Yeah, absolutely.
But guess what? She's still fighting as if she is.
Oh, yeah.
That goes to the fact. This isn't politics, ladies and gentlemen of America, as usual. This is a woman that says, you know what, we roll with the punches here,
yep,
in the Pelosi camp. And I'll tell you what, man, if you're not deterred by that, and if you're not encouraged by that, I suggest you see a doctor right away to find out what exactly is going on in your brain right now.
Well, Lamont, that is what you call a true leader.
Sure.
Whether I'm in the whether I'm at the head of the ship or not, I continue to lead.
Wow. Folks, get that as a quote from Charlisa Stewart. It doesn't get better than that, Sam.
No, I was just going to say, you know, to add to what Lisa was saying, it seems as though, Lisa, that Congresswoman Pelosi, she put down the or handed over the speaker's gavel,
sure,
but picked up a bat.
Well, there you go. You know what? And ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. In the time of war, there's an opportunity to change weapons. And I'll tell you what, whether it's a bat, a gavel, a toothpick, a fork, whatever you want, folks, as a weapon, you'll be effective with it. And I think, Sam, man, this is getting fired up, man, on AJC Radio. We better turn the temperature down. Something's liable to catch on fire here, folks. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, yeah, I think we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to start wrapping a few things up. But, you know, if folks want to hear more or go back and re-listen to some of the things we talked about regarding Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, feel free to go out to AJCRadio.com. Again, AJCRadio.com for archives of Spotlight on Capitol Hill. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Lamont Banks, Lisa Stewart, and Cliff Stewart for Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back and start wrapping things up.
Federal government targeted, prosecutors convicted, 6 executives in, held back evidence, hundreds of pages of missing manuscripts, court circuit, 10th district denying the writ of mandamus, read RP6, critical rights violations, scandalous, their motivation to finish their business with major companies, the government, New York PD, DHS, potential customers, come on, faith attempt to obtain funding from banks and angel investors with no success, that calm mail down, finance skeptics, so they hire a staffing company to fill the gap with every attention to fulfill the contract, to the deal when money come back. Everybody paid the bills, the wages, take care of all of that. No Friday. They got viable software, but you compare them to those with nothing to offer. Prosecuted by the attorney's office before the FBI gotta start investigating charges, skipping steps in the process, even barring the testimony of Andrew Alvarez, a witness who could tell why any staffing company that could do a Dunbar Street credit check would stick out their neck if there was no prospect they could collect. When they're reeling the net, it all relates to Harvey Silver's late statements about the vagueness of federal law, judicial chaos, A underscore just cause. Read at rp6.org 347
205 96 20 just blog. It's just us, but we don't gotta just talk. We can just march through the courts for the cause with one voice. It's just free them all.
Come on.
AJC Radio, bringing the message of justice around the world. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Lamont Banks, Lisa Stewart, Cliff Stewart. Lamont, we've had an exciting evening this evening talking about Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, back down on the East Coast, every week and every other day, there's a barbecue going on somewhere in the neighborhood, and folks are excited. They're bringing potato salad, coleslaw, biscuits, and whatever you want to call it. And I'm going to tell you right now, we've had a feast here tonight with Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi is on fire on Capitol Hill. And I'll, man, this is awesome stuff. Lisa?
Yes, absolutely. This is our first woman we spotlighted. And let me tell you, we couldn't have picked a better woman. We could not have picked anybody who was better suited to be honored, to be recognized, and to be noted for all of her enormous contributions to this country, to the world as a whole.
Well, you said that right, the world.
And we do this every Thursday, Lamont.
Folks, I'm going to tell you, if you got your calendar hanging near the refrigerator, near the iced tea or the Kool-Aid or the buttermilk, I want to do you a favor. Go ahead and pull it down right now, and you want to note on there, Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday. That's every Thursday. And I'm telling you what, you'll go to bed tonight with an extra pep in your step. You'll get up in the morning over eggs and pancakes or a bowl of Lucky Charms, whatever you choose. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to be inspired that America is moving forward, man. And, man, this is good stuff. Cliff, I see you smiling and excited. Let's go for it, man. Spotlight on Capitol Hill, folks, every Thursday here on AJC Radio.
Absolutely. You're contagious, man. your excitement and passion is, contagious. And I'm glad about Nancy Pelosi. You know, you listen to her talk, you read her bio, you see the things that she's doing, and you have to commend her. If we could get every politician to do what she's doing, man, Capitol Hill would be a beautiful place that would actually get things done for the people of America.
No, absolutely, Cliff. And you know what? It sounds like tonight, Lisa, we need to bring some more women spotlights here on AJC Radio.
I think you're right.
And ladies and gentlemen, stand by, because we're definitely going to be doing that. This is some awesome stuff. Sam, I tell you what, I go to bed tonight. I'll sleep well based upon this show tonight, that we've done a service to Congressman Pelosi. So,
Congresswoman.
Lamont, everybody in the studio is laughing because you said you're going to sleep well tonight.
I will sleep well tonight. I think hey, folks.
And everyone, they're saying right now, sleep is not in your future.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely, Sam. I just, you know what? This is inspiring.
It is, absolutely.
In our efforts to go forward and spotlight these folks on Capitol Hill is so critically important.
Yes.
Because the negativity out there in our country right now towards Congress, whether it's their approval rating,
toward Washington, D.C. in general, yeah.
Absolutely. This is a refreshing new thing that, man, what an awesome platform to highlight elected officials and say, look, you're not forgotten.
Well, and like Cliff said earlier, you know, very often people do not do their homework, and they have no clue as to what goes on in Washington, D.C. They have no clue as to the activities of our elected officials.
Sure.
I mean, you know, they get tainted by what they hear in the news. They get tainted by what they read. You know, someone shoots out a Twitter message or something on Facebook. But unless you actually do the due diligence and go out there and do some research, you know, check out the folks' websites. I mean, even with Congresswoman Pelosi, it's very simple. You can go out to pelosi.house.gov. Again, pelosi.house.gov, and you can pull up all types of information about Congresswoman Pelosi. And as we stated before the last break, you can go to our archives, ajcradio.com, ajcradio.com, and listen to this broadcast, a rebroadcast of it. And then you can also just go to live365.com for 24/7 programming, and you can catch us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time on the PRN.FM, and then for on-demand programming. If you want to download this program about Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, you can go to the 405radio.com or iTunes. Lamont.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Sam, Lisa, Cliff, let's not forget tonight the folks that, you know, our trips to Washington, D.C., the spotlight on Capitol Hill, and AJC Radio was born from a case. And that case was the IRP6 men.
Yes.
Patriots of America who basically suffered a great injustice as a result of the actions of a list of people that basically violated the law. There's no other way to say it.
Yeah.
That's right.
And put Patriots of America in harm's way. And I'll tell you what. We're going to go ahead and Lisa, share with us who these people are that, and what titles, the positions they were in, which bears out an abuse of power because they were in influential positions.
And Lamont, we're going to throw, before we throw that over to you, Lisa, the IRP6 are David Banks, Dave Zerpolo, Kendrick Barnes, Clinton Stewart, Demetrius Harper, and Gary Walker. And these men, you can find out information about them at freetheirp6.org. Again, freetheirp6.org. You can read their entire story. Wow. And as you stated, Lamont, these are folks who impacted this case. Lisa.
Okay, we've got our U.S. Attorney of the State of Colorado, John Walsh. We've got Assistant U.S. Attorney Prosecutor Matthew Kirsch. Assistant U.S. Attorney and Prosecutor Sunita Hazra. Attorney Greg Goldberg. Federal Judge Christine Arguello. Appellate Judge Jerome Holmes. Appellate Judge Bobby Baldock, Appellate Judge Harris Hart, Federal Judge R. Brooke Jackson, Magistrate Judge Craig Schaefer, Court Reporter Darlene Martinez, FBI Agent John Smith, FBI Agent Robert Mullen, former Federal Agent John Epke, former Federal Agent Gary Hilberry, Attorney Thomas Goodread, Attorney Clifford Barnard, Attorney Thomas Richard, Attorney Robert Berger, Attorney Mitchell Baker, Attorney Boston Stanton Jr., Attorney Rick Kornfeld, our favorite attorney Mark Garagos, and the president of ETI Professional Services, Susan Holland.
And when you listen to that, you know, Lisa, and we appreciate that, when you talk about injustice and when you have six men who are sitting in federal prison and have been there now for 3 years, that is totally uncalled for. And, you know, right now there's a major push to correct a lot of that kind of stuff. There's discussions all the time about judicial reform, prison reform, sentencing reform. And we are always, always asking if President Barack Obama, you know, from the clemency perspective, take a look at this case.
Sure.
Because these men deserve your action, Mr. President?
Well, I'll tell you what, Sam, Lisa, Cliff, and to our listeners of America out there, you don't want to miss next Tuesday, you know, on AJC Radio. We are going to address these issues of clemency, the importance of clemency, and the key to your point, Sam, is that if America had the perfect system, clemency wouldn't be necessary. Clemency is necessary, and we don't want to get into the program, folks. I'm pumped up, man. I'll tell you this right now. You don't want to miss that program coming up Tuesday, and we are going to highlight, Sam, the IRP6,
yes,
as well as other cases and the numbers of thousands of cases and applications that are submitted to try to get a handle,
yes,
on what has gone wrong here in the United States of America. We have to find the problem. So we find that we cannot fix it.
And that's a platform on of many people who are seeking the highest office in the land right now. And there are so many new organizations that are popping up. And the high-profile folks who are getting engaged in these organizations, like the Koch brothers. You got former Attorney General Eric Holder. You got current Attorney General Loretta Lynch. I mean, it's going to be an awesome show, Lamar.
No, absolutely. And I'm excited about it. And, man, this is something that has to be addressed. And we have to definitely address those issues. And, man, what an awesome tonight, Sam. That's why we do Spotlight, man. These people have the power.
Absolutely. And we want to encourage our listeners to tune in every Tuesday and every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern right here on AJC Radio, where we bring the message of justice around the world. Mr. Stewart.
Yeah, I want to say thank you to everybody who called in tonight. We appreciate your comments. Everybody in the chat room, we thank you for your input in there. Your comments and questions are very much appreciated. You guys keep up the good work. Also, I want to do a shout-out to K&D Productions, Captain Kyle and Dustin Jackson. They've brought the Honeycomb Kids up to speed. They're in there handling it all tonight on their own. We appreciate you guys. We have the production support team. They bring us accurate and up-to-date information so we can pass that on to you. And to the truth, we know you're out there. We appreciate it.
Like us on...
What's that say?
Sounds like you need a
five-hour
energy, Sam.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Lamont.
And, folks, ladies and gentlemen of America, tonight as you tuck in and get ready for another day, AJC Radio will continue to seek justice. We said a little bit ago that Lady Justice has gone missing. With folks like Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi at her post, have the strangest feeling that Lady Justice may be found. And folks, you know, this is why we do what we do. And you got to understand one very important thing. If you stop fighting, if you stop speaking, if you stop addressing the issues and act like it doesn't matter, then I'll tell you what, folks, nothing ever is going to change. And I'll tell you that, Sam, it makes you get motivated, makes you get pumped up. In regards to what we are attempting to do. So, ladies and gentlemen of America, you know, again, as you get tucked in tonight, and remember the freedom in which you and your families and the blanket of freedom in which you lay under. Somebody paid a price for it, so we'll have to continue to fight for justice. That is the purpose of what we do. Sam?
Lamont, and again, want to invite our listeners to tune in every Tuesday and Thursday. Lisa, do we have time to do that quick GoFundMe reminder? Lisa?
Yeah, I just want to remind everyone who's able, go out to GoFundMe.com. Do a search on IRP6. That is IRP, the number 6. And you will find a link there where you're able to donate directly to the families that have been affected by this injustice that has happened to their fathers and their husbands and all the wrong things that have happened to these men. You'll have opportunity to donate directly to their families.
Thank you, Lisa. This is AJC Radio. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Lamont Banks, Cliff Stewart, Lisa Stewart. Thanks for joining us for an exciting program this evening for Spotlight on Capitol Hill, where we put the spotlight on Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. We're bringing the message of justice around the world each week. Good night, Lamont, Cliff, Lisa. Good night, America.
Good night.
Good night.
Do you solemnly swear that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that you will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that you would take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that you will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which you are about to enter. So help you God. Congratulations. You're now a member
now
of the 114th Congress.
All we say to America is be true to what you're saying on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over that. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read of America is the right to